Hello again, and welcome to our program. We're in a series here in the book of Nehemiah, talking about a Bible revival. There's a lot of things going on in the world today under the banner of revival. They're just not found in the scriptures. We're looking at a prelude to revival. We've seen in previous messages that the revival is underway in chapter 8, but we need to know what they did in order to have that revival. A prelude is an action serving as an introduction to something important. Revival is important if we're going to get through this age in which we're living right now. As we look into this new year, nobody thought 2020 would be like it was, and only the Lord knows what's coming ahead for 2021. But I'll tell you this, if things continue the way they're going, either the Lord better come back very soon, or we're going to separate the Christians from the Christianettes. We're going to find out who's really, really willing to stand up and be counted for the cause of Jesus Christ, perhaps more in 2021 than ever before. Well, we read, Nehemiah said, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Now, why does he mention being there 3 days? There's nothing in the scriptures by accident. We'll look at it in a minute. Then he said, I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went, or what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Now keep in mind, Nehemiah is just an ordinary fella. He's working what we would call a secular job. He had a good job in the palace, but he wasn't a priest, and he wasn't a ruler, and he wasn't a noble. He was just Nehemiah. That's the kind of person God can use in this age of apostasy when we need revival like we need it today. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and you can read about that in the previous chapter, how the king gave him everything, because God made it happen. As also the king's words that he had spoken unto me, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hand for this good work. So he said, so I came to Jerusalem, and was there 3 days. Why does he mention that? Well, if we go back to Ezra, and you remember he went back before Nehemiah and he was building the temple, and it said, we came to Jerusalem and we abode there 3 days. Why? Well, in verse 8 of chapter 10, we read, and that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance shall be forfeited, and he himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away, speaking of the remnant. Now, he's saying here, you got 3 days to get here. If you're going to get involved in getting this temple rebuilt or not, make up your mind. You see, we all make decisions. He said, you got 3 days. What are you going to do? We read in verse 9 of chapter 10, then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the ninth month on the 20th day of the month, and all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of this matter, and for the great rain. Now they're sitting in the street, pouring rain. These people mean business. They come back. And it says here it was the ninth month, the 20th day of the month. There has to be a day when we decide, I've had enough of this nonsense as a Christian. I'm going to get what the Bible calls the victorious Christian life. I'm going to cross over the Jordan into the promised land. And that's not heaven. The first thing they did when they got across the River Jordan was fight the Battle of Jericho. It's, although our hymns tell us that's going to heaven, it's not going to heaven. It's having the victorious Christian life, even amongst the battles, or living in the wilderness like the Jews had been doing for 40 years because they wouldn't go across the river. Well, we see here some few men. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. The night. Five times in Nehemiah we read about something they did in the night. You see, you have to be willing to sacrifice a little sleep. You have to be willing to do something, and what we need to do is to get up and get alone with God and say, Lord, what are you going to do with me in 2021? And what am I going to do with you? And what am I going to do with the Word of God? And what is my responsibility? Talk to me and I will do it. Here am I, send me. Oh, there's only a few men that are willing to do that. You find that phrase, few men, five times in the Word of God. And so, we have a story in Ecclesiastes told by Solomon. It says, there was a little city and few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now, there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man numbered that same, no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Yeah, sounds like today. If you have a big name, got a big church, got a lot of big parking lot out there, and big fancy gymnasium, and a whole lot of that stuff, oh yeah, they'll listen to you. But the poor man, well, Solomon said wisdom is better than strength. And so we read in Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We also read in Romans 3 and 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. That's where we're living today. Now, humility and the garbage. We read in verse 13, I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well and the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. The gate of the valley. The valley represents humility. We'll look at it when we get into it. They start building this gate. Then the dung port. That's where they took out the garbage. What we need to realize is we've got to get the garbage out. The word dung is found in the Bible 28 times. I never heard a dissertation on dung. I don't think I want to bring one either, but we'll look at it when we get into this portion of Scripture. Then we have the Holy Spirit and humility. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. The gate of the fountain represents the Holy Spirit. And then, he said, then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley. And the valley gate, as we said, represents humility. And so, first of all, he went to the valley gate. Second, he went to the dung gate. And third, the fountain gate. Now, he goes to the valley gate, to the dung gate, to the fountain gate, and then he goes back to the valley gate. Because, see, this is where it all starts. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked way. Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal the land. So he says, all right, we have to have some humility. We got to get the garbage out. We got to let the Holy Spirit be in charge. But before we look at any other gates, we better go back there and check on the humility factor. The rulers didn't know. It says here, the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did. 18 times this word has been translated perceived. They didn't have any perception of what he was up to there. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in. He said, Jerusalem lieth waste, the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more of reproach. He told them of God's hand that was upon him, and out the king had told him and given him, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. They strengthened their hands for this good work. The word work is in Nehemiah 21 times. We're talking about the prelude to revival. What do we have to do? We have to get to work. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. So they strengthen their hands for this good work. They're about to get at it, but before they even do, we read about Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arabian, heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? First of all, they laughed, which is an expression of amusement or contempt. Then they scorned. They laughed us to scorn, which is to regard with mockery. And then they had an intense disgust for them. You can see this is getting worse. But they're not really attacking them physically yet. It's just they're talking about them. Now, if you're going to stand up and do what we need to do for Jesus Christ in 2021, the Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So let's ask ourselves the question, what kind of persecution are we suffering? As I said earlier, we're going to stand up for the Lord in this age of apostasy. As the apostasy comes in like a flood, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so, think it over. If you haven't got the spiritual intestinal fortitude to stand up for Jesus Christ, then go on back in the wilderness. Don't even think about crossing the River Jordan. But you're going to one day face Jesus Christ with your decision. We need to decide. What are you going to do? Well, what did they do? They answered, then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build, but we have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Now, what's he talking about here? We, his servants, will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Explained a little bit more when Ezra came back to build the temple. We read, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard it, the children of captivity built a temple unto the Lord God of Israel. Then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the day of Esarhaddon, king of Asshur, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Joshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God. But we ourselves together, we will build unto the Lord God of Israel. So we got to know, you have to have the discernment. You have to be able to tell who's really serving the Lord here and who's a hypocrite. We got a lot of people running under the banner of fundamentalism today. Not fundamental at all. We need to compare scripture and have some discernment here, because if we're going to do what we need to do, we better do it with the people who know what they're doing. Well, then we read in chapter 3, 1 and 2, then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests, and they built the sheep gate, and they sanctified it, and set up the doors of it. Even under the tower of Mia, they sanctified it, under the tower of Hananiel, and next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zachar, the son of Amri. So we have the 10 gates that are represented here, and the first gate they're going to start with is the sheep gate. We'll look at it in our next program. Be sure and be with us. Remember, the prelude to revival is an action serving as an introduction for something very important. They're about to get underway. Now they're going to get to the work. They have strength in their hands for this good work. Be sure to be with us for our next program.